You're listening to Radio National Breakfast, Sally Sara with you. Well, depression and anxiety among school-age children are serious issues and one not lost on schools and teachers, with many trying to find ways to boost student well-being. 14 years ago, teacher Hugh Van Kylenberg founded the Resilience Project to help kids feel happier and, as the name suggests, become more resilient. At first, no one wanted to sign up, and it would be years of no's before he finally got his break. Today, the project is being used in 1,200 schools across Australia, as well as some sporting clubs and workplaces. Hugh Van Kylenberg, a very warm welcome to Changing Australia.
Thank you, Sally. And not many people get my surname correct on the first attempt, so I'm very, very impressed.
I get a lot of them wrong, so give me time. I might mess it up later. Who knows? Hugh, as a teacher, what were you observing that made you think that something needs to be done here to try and lift the resilience of kids?
Well, it's a great question. I mean, it probably started before I was a teacher. My whole interest in this topic, I guess, started... it was a long time ago. It was when my little sister was admitted to hospital at the age of 17. I was 20 at the time. She was struggling with a mental illness. And I remember that night we're at home as a family, and we're having dinner around the dinner table, and my dad got up to do the dishes and asked him a question he didn't answer. And I turned around to find out why, and I'll never, ever forget the silhouette of my dad slumped over the kitchen sink in tears. And I hadn't really seen Dad cry before that, and it just had an enormous impact on me. And I think it's when I realised, well, it's where I became fascinated with the question, what is it that, you know, how do we make people happy? I knew I couldn't do anything to fix my sister or help my sister at that point, but I did desperately want to know how I could. I just remember thinking, gosh, we're not a happy family anymore. So my interest began there. I went to uni to study primary school teaching, and four-year degree, and the words mental health weren't mentioned once throughout the whole thing, and that's not a slight on the university. It was 2000 and we weren't really talking about mental health back then. But I went into primary school teaching and thought, right, time to stop these kids getting a mental illness, and I had no idea how to do it. So it's always been a really big interest of mine. Then I got into teaching, and I remember asking, this would have been 2004, 2005, I was asking the teachers and the principals and the school leaders that I taught at, what programs are there out there to teach mental health, like positive mental health strategies to help these kids? And there wasn't much. And what was there, I found as the teacher, I found it quite dull sounds really harsh. It just wasn't overly engaging to the kids or the staff. And so I remember thinking, I think we need something that the kids like genuinely love doing that teaches them the skills to be sorry, this is such a long answer.
No.
that teaches them the skills to be resilient and to have as best mental health as they possibly can.
So what are the evidence-based principles that are guiding the work that you've been undertaking?
So our curriculum, our school program that we have now, it's a comprehensive program for school to take on. It's not a tick the box. Yeah, we're sort of teaching mental health. We train the teachers, we train the parents, as well as the kids, so that everyone's speaking the same language. And the principles that we teach are gratitude, so the ability to pay attention to what you've got, not worry about what you don't have, because gosh, we struggle. So many of us struggle with that in Australia. We teach empathy, which is when you really can feel what someone else feels. When you do that, it just builds such compassionate communities. And again, we need that more than ever right now. We teach mindfulness, the ability to be wherever you are. And again, we struggle with that. And the better we are at being wherever we are, the more likely we are to notice opportunities to be there for other people. And we're more likely to notice the good stuff happening around us. And we also teach emotional literacy, which is the ability to identify the emotion you're experiencing as you're experiencing it.
So is it an element of this, of getting kids to be able to use a different way of telling stories to themselves or giving their account of their situation, rather than saying if they've missed out on something, it's hopeless, I'll never get into this, I'm not good enough, to a kind of mindset of I missed out this time, but I got some good pointers on how I might get there next time, all that kind of thinking?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I had a lovely email from a teacher the other day who's been using our program for 5 years, and she said what it did for her as a teacher was when she was marking her kids' work, she noticed that when she'd hand it back, even the good bits of work, there was just red pen all over it with about six or seven, saying here are six or seven mistakes, and she changed it to, she uses a green pen. And she highlights all the stuff that I've done well. And she said, it takes me a long time, but I'll find, my aim is to find 20 things that they've done really well, as well as the things they can improve. She said, I feel like this program has helped me realize that we spend so much time focusing on what's not working and what's not going well, but we're surrounded by good stuff everywhere. Mm. That was a lovely one. I was very lucky to work with the Queensland State of Origin side for a few seasons. And I remember first day of training camp, one of the coaches told star player Reece Walsh, or gave him some feedback that he didn't love. And some of the coaches were discussing that at night. And someone said, I told Reece Walsh something I didn't think he did. Something I think he didn't do very well, and he didn't respond well. And the coach, Billy Slater, said, he said to him, how many times have you told him how wonderful you think he is? And he said, oh, I don't think I ever have. I mean, sort of, I haven't known him that long. And he said, well, I don't think you've got the right then to tell him what he's not doing well. He said, you've got the right, but don't expect it to go well. He said, I reckon if you haven't told someone 10 wonderful things about them, the time you do want to give them some support and some feedback is not going to go as well. He said, people need to know you love them before you give them that feedback, which I think is sort of, I remember hearing that and thinking, gosh, that's just, it's just so true and so relevant to your question. Mm.
So how do we get the balance right with that stuff? You know, there's some commonly held views that, there's dangers of being too soft with kids. They've got to face things like competition and other stuff, that we can't be overloading kids with good job and all of that kind of praise. What do you think of those kind of sentiments when you hear them?
I mean, it's a very generic kind of approach. I mean, every child is so unbelievably different. Look at my own three kids, and I know that one of them can cope much better with, real world realities and harsher feedback than the other two can. So I think I always feel like we need to be as compassionate, as kind as possible, and just weighing up, sometimes the cruel to be kind thing is applicable, but I do think we need to be erring on compassion as much as possible.
What sort of difference do you see in kids once they have some of this kind of input, and teachers, as you're saying, as well?
Yeah, well, I mean, this is a really important thing to touch on, because I do feel like for any school wanting to do our program, if I was a parent there, if I was a teacher there, my first question would be, well, does this work? Because I know what it's like to be overloaded with another curriculum we've got to teach. So the really exciting news for our schools, and we found this out earlier this year, was that Monash University did a three-year evaluation, an extensive evaluation of our program. And what they found was, for kids who are going to a resilience project school, by the time they finish at the school, the chances of them having depression have decreased by 46%, and the chances of them having an anxiety disorder have decreased by 34%. So we're incredibly proud of that. I feel so proud of that, just because I know how unbelievably hard our incredibly passionate team work every single day to bring this program to life in our 1,200 countries around the school. 1,200 schools around the country. It just makes me very proud. So, we're seeing incredible results.
Is there going to be further review and evaluation?
Sorry, Sal, I'll tell you what just happened then. I'm standing in my hotel room, and I just saw Ricky Ponting walk past my room, and I completely lost it. Just completely lost it. I mixed up my words. I was like a schoolboy then. I got so excited. It's like, can you come to you?
Well, that's fair enough. There you go.
Sorry, what was the question?
Is there going to be further evaluation on this?
Yeah, I mean, this is the third evaluation we've had. Melbourne University did an evaluation, which was... sorry, I'm just calming down. Which was a little while ago now. That actually looked at the chances of kids actually going away and practicing this, which is a really positive result. And then we had Adelaide University did evaluation as well. Their evaluation was really interesting. It was incredible. It showed that during COVID, so I think it was they looked at 180,000 kids doing our program. They compared it to 180,000 kids not doing our program, and this is all through COVID. And they found that, as you can imagine, the kids during COVID who weren't doing the program, their symptoms of depression and anxiety increased, feelings of life satisfaction and hope went down. But they found that kids doing our program, there was no increase in depression and anxiety, symptoms of depression and anxiety. But more amazingly, during COVID, their feelings of hope and life satisfaction actually went up, which was quite remarkable. But we're continually having evaluations done on the program because we need to know real time, is this working? And, you know, if not, you know, what changes can we make?
And just finally, Hugh, there will be teachers listening, parents listening, aunts and uncles. What message would you give them?
Gosh, I mean, my most basic message would be, please have a look into the Resilience Project because it works, and we know desperately. We know how desperately our kids need this right now. But the other message would be that you can't really control whether your child's school is doing. I mean, you can if you're a principal listening, you can. But for most people, they can't control whether or not, their school's doing the program. But what they can do is they can start practicing this stuff in their homes with their kids. So if you go to our website, there's a tab called TRP at home, Resilience Project at home. We have so many resources and activities so you can actually practice this stuff at home. It's simple stuff like when you pick your kids up from school, you're not asking the question, what happened at school today? You're asking, what went well today? Trying to help them frame their worldview through a lens of gratitude. It's looking to do a random act of kindness every day to really encourage that feeling of empathy. And there are so many different ways to practice mindfulness and emotional literacy that are on the website as well.
I often say to my nephews, you know you're a lovely kid, don't you? And the little one says, I know, Auntie Sally, he says when he gets that. So some messages must be getting through. Well Hugh, it's been really valuable to talk to you. We've found out not only are you teaching resilience, but you're obviously a cricket tragic and a fan of Ricky Ponting in particular.
I am so sorry about that. I've never been so distracted in all my life, as was evidenced by the words that came out of my mouth.
Hugh, good luck with your work in schools and other organisations right across the country. Thank you very much for being my guest this morning.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks, Al.